Are you a starseed? Do you have a mission here on Earth? Do you sometimes struggle to fit in? You're in the right place. Join me and special guests as we share our personal stories as Galactic Ground Crew here on Becoming Iris.
Welcome back, everybody, to Becoming Iris. Today, I have a guest all the way from Scotland, Alistair Blaine. Alistair is a painter and a poet. Welcome to the show, Alistair. It's great to have you here.
Hello, Iris. Thank you for having me.
So Alistair is an artist whose work I first saw when I visited Scotland last year in the home of my friend Jenny. And I was intrigued to know about this beautiful art that I saw on her wall. And she told me the story about how herself and her husband had met Alistair. And I was intrigued. And through the course of our conversation, I was inquiring whether Alistair might like to join us on our retreat that we're doing. And as it's all unfolded, he is. So I'm very excited to have him share about his work, his journey, how it is that he came to be doing what he's doing. So Alistair, I would love to begin with how the universe conspired to have you doing the work that you do today.
Oh, hi. Well, goodness me. Well, look, it all goes way back. I mean, where it begins in this life is quite a mystery, but I'll do my best to bring it together. But I grew up in the west of Scotland, born in Paisley. And when I was quite young, I moved out to a little village called Kilmacombe in the west. And well, going through school and all of this, it was never, the system really never provided for me what I wanted. So I think it's quite common these days. But so I grew up with my cousin going around the hills, running around. We were Celtic warriors, all of this Lord of the Rings, this kind of mythical, imaginal realm was always very present. So that's the kind of early childhood, and then into school. And again, it just got more and more separate, fragmentary, and they just want you in the matrix doing your thing. So I would rebel. And it really wasn't until the end of school where I'd realized, well, maybe there's something in my hand that could represent something and also just provide a world within that I can go and imagine and play and flow. So, I mean, that was, oh, goodness me, some time ago, 15 years ago. And then, well, then I met a girl and she was from New Zealand. So the call was to go out there. So I spent a little time before kind of making a commitment to move. And then after that, I went to a portfolio course, just a standard college course to get some basic skills and develop a portfolio. And I mean, that is something that keeps those skills of charcoal and basic drawing, intuition, all play a part in what I'm doing now. It's that foundational skill. So then I took my portfolio to New Zealand and I got into a visual arts tech to Manukau in the South Auckland. So if you're familiar with Auckland, it's a huge urban sprawl. So I was going from the very north of Auckland right down to the south of Auckland every day. And I'd see everything in between. The quite quiet suburban to the city and then to the depths of Otara. And that was really my first introduction to, yeah, well, Maori culture, Pacific Island culture. And oh, it's such good times, good friends. If you're good to them, they look after you and feeling part of this family, and also being introduced to their customs and their traditions, their karakes, their genealogy, their whakapapa. And this is where they introduce their mountain as well as their river as part of their family. So I guess that would be some kind of more animistic culture. So, and everyone would ask me, oh, where are you from? What's your clan? And at that point, I really had no idea. And that's when I began to realize what we've lost in the West, in Scotland and Northern Europe. So that was planting some seeds there. But all in all, that school, it ran its course. It was quite modern. I wanted to paint, but they didn't offer painting. So I kind of moved on to the next school, and that was an art and craft school, not just north of Auckland, tucked away in the bush. And that was run by a man who came from South Africa, and he built it all himself. He had a dream. He was very good with everything from wood to clay to sculpture and painting. So, and at that point, well, the support around fell apart and I was really on my own then. So I lived in a tent for a couple of months in the bush. My own foliage started to develop and there's this rewilding. So then I started digging my own clay and spending deep time in the woods and, yeah, being a part of this continuum, can I say. And, yeah, and I mean, that's where I developed something of the visionary. So you can take, it's very well to paint a scene and a tree here and there, but when you're spending so much time in somewhere and it really becomes a part of you, there's then an opportunity to almost go a bit inward in a way and almost look at the surface, what you're doing and seeing what can be there and you're informed by your own experience. So, I mean, then I went, it was 3 years in New Zealand. So then I went to Wellington and that was a kind of harmony, a union of the both. So it was a slightly more art and craft focus, but it was also kind of part of the Wellington greater city. So you'd have musicians and all this kind of excitement going on. Yeah, and there, that's when I discovered oils. So before that, I was only painting in acrylic. And the naivety of that is it's a plastic. It's not of the earth. Well, depends how far you want to take that. But it's this very synthetic material. So again, just makes sense to go to the oil. And there's these qualities you can achieve with the oil paint. And yeah, and then worked for a year. Met my current partner and love of my life, Rosalie. And we're still together and she's doing her own thing. Symbiotic, you know, shared interests. But then my visa ran up and it was time to go. And I still had this hunger to really learn how to paint. So I have my own kind of slightly idiosyncratic way of doing things, but I lack that discipline in the craft. So then I found this Visionary Art Academy in Vienna. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the visionary art scene. You have, well, Alex Gray is for one. He's quite a well-known guy in America, and Amanda Sage as well. And, well, they've got a lovely British man, Daniel Morante, who I loved his work since first seeing it. And he works in a very sepia kind of brown earth palette. And so I just wanted to study with him, really. So I came there and he came and that's where I really found the foundational kind of old master materials and processes. So you're working with egg tempera, egg medium paint, a lot of earth pigments. And I'm going deep into the vision. So we're meditating, the kinds of breath work, shamanic drumming as well. I had a good teacher that introduced me to shamanic practice and drumming in New Zealand, Charles Malcolm. And that's part of drum. The drum craft is a big part of just what I do for myself, really. It's a part of that space and that vibration to go deep into what comes, how to work with the energies and the animals and the land. So, I mean, it was 4 years all up of me gathering tools and self-development, getting in touch with my own nature, discovering who I am. And then after Vienna, it was really the homework, coming back home, back to this village, Kilmacombe, but realizing that it's the greater landscape is Strathgreif, right, where there's the River Greif. And at that time, my late uncle, was telling me, he was an amazing historian in his own right, just an enthusiast, he was a teacher too. But he said, Alistair, it's the Greif, it means grief. There was a battle here, and hence the name. And so you start to see, well, oh, this childhood play and this kind of mythical thing unravels. And I think, oh, well, maybe there's something we're tapping into there. And so, I mean, that's the poetry in the land, the story in the land. It's all carried there, right? So say that was, goodness me, time. I don't know how many years ago, 6 years ago. Yeah, and that's me just wandering up the rivers like I did when I was a child, but with a bit more intent, a bit more focus, a bit more in tune. Seeing these trees that have known me all this time, Yeah, and I mean digging into these little quiet spaces. It's this land. It's not this grand highland epicness. It's quite pastoral. There's a lot of farmland, a lot of green fields. It's a bit more like the Shire. So, but you still have these very magical little waterfalls and patches of ancient woodland. We've lost so much, but what is there is wonderful, and it still carries. Goodness me, I love it. But then this Greif story, the grief story, and well, it's something to do with the Romans, and you have a lot of hill forts around here, old hill fort from the Iron Age. So, I mean, this is where going a bit to the history of what we know, but in terms of this story, it drops off. No one's really knows for sure. So, I mean, that's been a slow burning endeavor of mine, just to be with the landscape, write a little bit here and there, integrate these parts of the land. And I mean, well, now I've come to, again, well, there's another place in Norway. We touched on that earlier. And so I found a painter, Odd Nerdrum, who is, in a way, he's kind of like a living fossil of the old time, the old tradition of painting. So we're not modernists in the sense of bright, flashy thing. It's everything's toned down, and the focus is on the storytelling and the craft of storytelling and the craft of building a good painting. And so we're going to the old style with linen and prepared glue and an oil ground. So you're really preparing the groundwork of earth, and then the way you build up in this very limited palette, and you're using sandpaper to kind of dig in, kind of a scrying. It's really kind of, I'd say it's more like a shamanic way to paint than happy plein air Victorian style landscapes that I have their quality. But so yeah, I go and see him, and we talk about story and life and tragedy in a way. I'm a big believer that one of the biggest initiations we can have as a human being is heartbreak. That's been for my life anyway. To break open the heart is what let the light come in. And then we kind of come back together, and we're a bit more expanded. We have a bit more compassion, a bit more empathy. So to go to these old stories, you see that we're all in this together. We're all in this continuum. And I mean, in Scotland, what we have left in terms of our oral story tradition, we've got lots of little pieces of folklore, but in terms of something that is truly from the old time, say 2,000 years ago, is the poems of Ossian or Oisin. And that's a shared heritage between Ireland and Scotland, this Celtic connection. And there you have a lot of very kind of elaborate floral language, because it's all from the Gaelic. Thankfully, we have that translated from the Gaelic in the 1700s by a fellow, James McPherson. And there's a lot of authenticity. And did he make it up? But I take it all with a grain of salt. But look, when you're translating a Gaelic language, there's many different kind of options you can say. So, but you have this theme of grief come up again and again. And the old saying is there is a joy in grief, the joy of grief, and it's all about singing, right? So you sing the songs of your ancestors, and in that way it's a bittersweet remembrance. So the joy of grief is present when there is peace in the heart. It's not about depression, it's not about wallowing, it's just remembrance and be grateful and acknowledging that as the tide comes, we come and go. So yeah, I mean, this timeless, mythical life is really what I'm all about. And to try and represent that is really my path in life. So, yeah.
Thank you for sharing. That's amazing. And I do find it, what's the word, inspiring, let's say, that you're able to continue with this traditional way of being. And it feels like it carries over to all aspects of your life, like that you actually live day to day as much as possible with this sort of philosophy. I know when Jenny was talking about you, and she said, you're like, he just looks like someone out of Outlander. But it's not contrived. It's like actually keeping the spirit of the culture and the history alive. So that's really beautiful. For those who aren't familiar with Scotland, and even for myself, are you able to describe like where you are, say, in relation to Edinburgh or Glasgow, like just to paint a picture of where you are on the map?
Aye. So it would be just a little bit the south side of Glasgow and then west.
Okay.
Yeah. So I kind of call it the Highlands of the Lowlands, because it's, I think our nearest hill is about 400 metres above sea level. So it's not too grand mountains, but there's these very broad sweeping hills with this very smooth curvature.
And is that part of Perthshire still, or is that a different
area? No, that would be a different, it would be Inverclyde.
Inverclyde, okay, perfect. So day to day, this is what I'm really interested to know. So what does the life of a painter poet look like? Like, what is it that you do? Like, what do you actually do day to day? I mean, in terms of like, so for example, with your art, is it something where inspiration comes, or do you make it like, are you someone who has a sort of a set practice where you go and do certain things each day, or do you just flow with how you're feeling? Like, how do you approach that aspect?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say, because yeah, I mean, in times it's very broad. It's not a standard set, but I go back to certain principles, I guess, right? So, and I mean, it's hard to say where one thing ends and another thing begins, but so it really starts with a walk, a big long walk, or wander, as I prefer to say, because it's not like a fixed goal as such. It's a wandering. You can maybe try and get off the path, being very perceptive of what's in the periphery, and then also looking for alignments. And that's where, yeah, I guess these ley line things maybe come in, is I think the hills are representing the energy, right? So, and I mean, around here it's all volcanic bath salt, very old volcanoes, and they're all worn away. So it will start with a little clue, and it could be also in a name. So I might be looking at a map and I might be saying, oh, this is an interesting name of a hill or something like that. So I'm going out. I've got a little sketchbook, something like this, something very small, manageable, and just a bit of pencil or some charcoal, and making these small little sketches. So then it kind of goes from the small kind of linear, not so much a full drawing as such, but sometimes it's just like a signature line, a couple of those. This is what I'll be sharing on our retreat. So it all starts with the drawing, and then it kind of evolves to maybe a bigger piece of paper perhaps, and there's some ink, and you have time to capture the essence of what you've gathered there, but then extrapolate on that, and then you're a bit more in touch with the surface and how the ink and the water element interacts. So you can kind of get into more of this sight into things. So, yeah, and I mean, then you're breaking into the oil full. So with earth pigments, you kind of, you're making a sketch, and then layer by layer by layer, it builds up. Sometimes I will bring out my easel and paint directly from life for a couple of years there. That's a big part of what I was doing in Scotland, just to get that, develop that skill. You work to principles and all that kind of technical aspect. But once I think you have that integrated and you know the landscape very well, you can begin to riff on it. And from there, they can go up to big 2-meter paintings. And there, I mean, you can spend a lot of time, and it takes a lot of time, because you can get so far in a session, maybe over a couple of weeks, and then it has to rest. And then that gives you opportunity to work with other things. And I mean, the poetry element as well, that's a kind of linguistic storytelling of my journey, right? So I'll be kind of nature narrator. What do I see? What do I observe? Also, what is going on for me personally? What's in my heart? What needs to come out, be released? Hopes and dreams.
Beautiful. Thank you. And so at the moment, what is it that you're working on? Like, are you painting? Are you, because I also saw, and I find this really fascinating, I saw a video that you did where you were like making your canvas. I think it was from goat. And you obviously make your own pigments and things like that. So what sort of projects are you working on at the moment, and what are you excited about? Like, what are the things that are sort of capturing your attention at the moment?
Well, goodness me. Well, it's all the same project, right? This is the thing. There's so many facets of this landscape. So, well, I've recently moved house, so I've got myself a wee cottage tucked away on these hills where I've grown up. So, and I'd say it's the first time that I've been able to make something of my own home. So I'm very excited about, this craft of home building. But then digging in, you have other angles on these hills that I've painted over and over and over again, but you have slightly different views on it. So I guess where I'm excited there is really, going into, I'm working on this big panorama. So it'd be the whole Strathgreif, it's a big bowl, essentially. And you have seven rivers flowing into the River Greif. And then in the middle of this bowl, slightly at an angle, but you have the Mafanok. And I take that to translate as the Mother Hill. And so it was last summer. I mean, this is the strange thing, because I grew up, my cousin's house is right by the Mafanok. House is called Mafanok Farm, so I know it very, very well. But I went up last summer during the solstice and had an incredible revelation, because it's almost up this hill. It's a break. It's not, when you look at it, there's not much going on, but once you get in there, there's this bowl, and I see it as almost this fractal of the greater, wider area of Strathgreif. So there's this very interesting rhythm at play. And in the western light, just as it's going down on these rocks, I was seeing these, you have cup and ring marks. So are you familiar with cup and ring marks? Yeah. So, look, at the end of the day, who knows what they are, but these circles, cups carved into the stone. And I mean, just the whole context of the scene, that's very ritualistic landscape. I mean, it's such a container. And also when I'm there, I'm looking at the horizon line and oh my goddess, because really the Mafanok has the goddess in the hill. And now I'm seeing why the name is there, because, you have the pap in Scotland. A lot of hills are called a pap, and that means a breast. And you have a little cairn on top. So this breast and nipple of the goddess. And I mean, you have a little face profile gesture with the rest of the body. And of course, it's sprawling, but I think once you begin to recognize that familiarity of the land, you can't help but personify, because it's there. Once you can see it, it's there.
Would you mind sharing a bit about the cup and what it means? Like, what the, I guess, would it be passed down in the stories? Like, for example, there'd be different views, but what would be your understanding about those markings?
Yeah. Well, it's hard to say for sure for anything, but I think my take is it's about family, I think. And so you'd have the home, the container, you'd say, and then the rings, I think, is generations going around. And then you'll have breaks as well. You'll have sometimes a line going to another and it continues. That's kind of my... But then again, it's a map as well. Maybe it's geography, or it could be related to the stars as well. So yeah, I'm very careful about saying anything for sure, but I think that's my... What seems plausible to me is it's some kind of container. And I mean, that's the thing. We don't know anything with stories. They don't contain anything in the stories.
It's very interesting what you described there, because it reminds me of the symbology in the Aboriginal artwork. So they have like the circle, a circle like that would represent, so if you have like a series of circles, they're like different places that you are from, and then the lines going to the places. So it's sort of what you're describing with family and home and where you're from, mm-hmm. and then the connection line. So it's kind of what you, when you said that, I was like, oh, that's kind of like Aboriginal symbology as well.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I would just love you to share about the shamanic element. Like, is there anything else that you would like to talk about with that? Because I feel that that's very interesting. So is that something where, for example, you use that as an avenue for inspiration when you're going to paint, or like, how do you work with the shamanic practices yourself?
Yeah, well, it's, I think I use the drum. That's, they say, the shaman's horse, right? So I use the drum to clear my mind. There's different ways. It's all around your intention, right? So, and how I understand it, you've got kind of three levels that you can travel to. And so that, I mean, there'd be different intentions there. But when I'm using it for the painting, I'm usually in that middle realm. And it's a way to, I think, peer a little bit through time. So when I'm interested in what's happening with the Greif story, right? So I'm going to these old hill forts, I'm drumming, and I'm not, say, maybe going into like the deep state, but just touching into that, and there I'll get, say, names of people coming through, and then there may be little scenes that kind of play out, and that usually happens on the hill. But then when I come back, it's, yeah, maybe another more intentional journey to go a bit deeper into that. And I'm taking notes, taking little sketches of what I get out of that. For instance, one of my ones lately was to say, well, the river has been called the River Greif because something happened here. But what was the name before? And so, well, what came through was this refuge. It's called the Refuge. And so, and that's what I got in English. So then I go to the book and I translate from, I see what there is in Gaelic. So, and there you have this wonderful word called Tiarmid. Tiarmid, and it's spelt tear, teardrop, maid. Shiver me timbers, that's resonant. So yeah, I guess that's how I go with it.
That's beautiful. I love that. Thanks for sharing. And for people who are interested in your work, and I know that you display at the moment a lot of your pieces on Instagram. So is that the best way for people if they would like to perhaps purchase something from you? Is that the best way for them to approach you at the moment?
At the moment, that is the way. You can get my email from there as well if you prefer to message me directly or through Instagram. I'm working on the website. That's, yeah, another craft in itself with the technology. But, and they are from little drawings to the smaller paintings to the very large paintings. And also you have prints as well. So, I mean, basically most things are available.
Beautiful. So I'll place your contact information below this episode. So if people are interested, they can reach out to you directly. Yep. And do you have like many pieces available at the moment? Like, if people are interested in your work, do you currently have things available?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, great. All right. And have you got anything coming up? Like, I know that you did an exhibition not that long ago in Scotland. Like, have you got any things coming up?
Yep. Well, so that was with the Glasgow Art Club, which is, I'll be an ongoing, they have exhibitions every quarter. So I had a two-man show. Another fella, Michael Docherty, there. But at the moment, it's quite quiet. I'm mainly focusing on this summer to go around, do more workshops and be a part of. So that's that. I'll be doing as well. I've got work on the Isle of Arran, if you're familiar with Arran. So that's another place. Yeah.
Is that in Ireland? Is that the...
No, that's not the Arran Islands.
Okay. So what? No, I'm not familiar. What's this one that you're going to?
Yeah, so that's a single R, and the Isle of Arran on Scotland is a double R.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, that I should talk about that because that's a big part of my story as well. But I mean, I grew up going there. It's a beautiful island. They call it Scotland in miniature.
Whereabouts is this in the on the map? Whereabouts is it?
It's just south and west of Glasgow. So it's the closest island to Glasgow. Yeah. And it has it all. It has caves and standing stones and mountains. But I could probably do a whole other podcast on that.
We'll have to have you back. And so you, when you say traveling around, like you said, workshops, so you're actually like teaching, or what sort of workshops are you doing?
Yeah, so a good friend of mine, Ben Benjamin, he's running a kind of ancestral skills gathering at the end of April. And that's really to kind of bring people, say, out of the city, out of the matrix, and into this kind of timeless human experience where we try and keep a focus on natural materials as much as possible. I think there you'll have some leather tanning, you'll have some ceramics, you'll have willowcraft dyeing, the sorts of things. So I'll be bringing my alder cone ink. So I make my own ink. It's a very simple way to make the material that you can work with from the landscape. So keeping that there.
And whereabouts is this workshop? So this is somewhere in Scotland, or?
That's in Scotland, yep. So that's in near the Lake of Menteith.
Okay.
Yep.
Are there places available? Because I might put the information for that as well.
Let me double check.
Okay. All right. So. But there'll be more of that type of thing if people are interested.
Yes.
There'll be other ones coming.
Just keep an eye on my Instagram and I'll be in touch with what's happening. Yep.
Perfect. So there's lots of things coming up. And obviously we have our retreat that we're going doing together in June, and that will be in Perthshire, based out of Pitlochry. So we're very excited to be having you as a special facilitator for that, Alistair. It's going to be fantastic. And yeah, I look forward to sharing more of your story. If you would like to come back another time, we can talk about Aran Island and all of the things. So just like to say thank you for joining me today. It's been lovely having you here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a true pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to click subscribe to be notified of new episodes as they're released. And if you would like to show your support for the podcast, please leave a review of what you've enjoyed. And any donations are also much appreciated. You can follow me on Instagram at Becoming Iris Podcast and stay up to date with all of my offerings, including one-on-one sessions, courses, and retreats. I hope you'll join me next time on Becoming Iris for more Starseed stories.